Do you know that feeling when everyone is talking about a movie that you haven't seen? Have you ever felt compelled to make some vague comments just so you can join in the conversation? Well, what if you were in too deep? Do you think you could convince everyone that you'd seen it? Or do you think your version would be so much better that no one would care? Here at Faking Movies, we're always the ones who haven't seen the movie.
Anything you can do better. I can do anything better than you.
No, you can't.
Yes, I can.
No, you can't.
Yes, I can.
No, you can't.
Yes, I can. Yes, I can.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Faking Movies. Those gentle tones are just our way of saying we're sorry for our last episode.
Yeah, it was. It was pretty garbage. I have an argument though. I think that it should be a cumulative 270 seconds, not 90 seconds per thing. But I mean, I'll just back off now. I mean,
if that was the case, it would be one movie and then silence for the other two. Like, it would just never.
I would have made it up on ants, quote unquote. What up?
I can't even remember which movie that was for.
Small soldiers. Yes. Small soldiers.
Oh, that's right.
The one
involving
ants.
Anyway, it's an audio blur. Thank you to our guest from that episode, our good friend Jer. What little sanity and enjoyment you may have gotten out of that episode, our dear listeners, is probably because of him keeping us on track.
We were major garbage.
100% credit to him, yes.
Yeah. I finished a bottle of wine before we finished recording. It was not good. But anyway,
it was a mess.
Thank you guys again for sticking with us for now 51 episodes.
Holy
this is crazy.
Oh, shit.
We're so close. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So Zach, I'll introduce my friend. Zach, what's up? How you doing?
Oh, very well. How are you?
I'm good. What about you, Seth?
Excellent.
I am acceptable.
Naturally. Your natural state of being.
Yeah. It's true.
I wanted to say here at the top this week, our show, of course, it's about cinematic blind spots. You guys always complain that you have a hard time finding movies for me to do, but I just signed up for Filmstruck, so it's going to get a lot harder, bitches.
Oh, you son of a bitch. Why aren't we sponsored
by them? We're
going
to have to instate... Yeah, that's a good point. We're gonna have to I think this week especially is testament to this, as we'll find out. We're gonna have to more closely screen the movies before just like randomly going, yeah, that'd be great, let's do that.
Just by way of letting you know, I think this signing up for Filmstruck kind of inspired me. I might start writing some quick rundowns of movies that we would never do on the show, by the movie I'm watching right now on there, Fitzcarraldo.
Mm-hmm. Yep, Fitzcarraldo. What a movie.
Fitzcarraldo.
Holy
let me tell
shit.
You, my partner and I are both, more so me than her, for sure, unrepentant, addictive personalities. I'm sitting on my computer watching Fitzcarraldo. She's watching Guys and Dolls on TV at the exact same time.
Is that the movie version of that where it's like Luke be a Jedi tonight? Luke be a Jedi tonight.
Do it for Yoda when we serve our guests some soda. Yeah,
and
exactly.
Do it for Ewok and all the other puppets. Luke be a... Yeah, that version. You know, in high school, I was Skye Masterson in a performance of that.
Really? I bet you sang better than Marlon Brando did.
Oh, well, without a doubt.
He is terrible.
I buy that.
But yeah, this
No, I wasn't Skye Masterson. I was Nathan Detroit. What the fuck am I talking about?
So you played the role that has no singing.
Yeah.
singing anyway.
I mean, yeah, but people were singing about me, which is the important part. Nathan Detroit.
You had your sycophants following you around stage. They weren't even in the show.
Yeah, it's true. Zach is clearly checked out when we're talking about musicals. He does not give a shit.
I just want
wake me up when it's over.
Wake me up inside. I can't wake up. So I feel like I need the rest of the world to know.
Now I'm in.
Why watching those two movies at the same time is a bad idea? It's because you'll have nightmares where Klaus Kinski is singing Fugue for Tin Horns at you very aggressively.
That is amazing. That does sound terrible. Oh my god.
Yeah, so that's why this is if my boss is still listening to this show at all. I don't know if he is or not. That's why I only slept for an hour before work today.
Sorry, dude.
He's, blame.
He's sitting in the office erasing a demerit right now.
Oh, yeah, okay. Blame literal monster Klaus Kinski.
Yeah, literal monster. God damn that dude.
All right. I've delayed us enough. I think we should get into the actual episode.
Nathan Detroit.
So
Seth won't have it. Not having any of it.
I mean,
as we mentioned up front, I'm going to be faking this week. And the movie that you guys gave me is Citizen Ruth.
Sure was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We had some discussion about this. I guess we, as I recall, Seth and I, we were doing like a big grouping of like who's doing what next. And Seth and I came upon this and we're like, oh man, that'd be crazy. And then somehow that spun into like, we're actually doing it.
Yeah.
And I wish we could go back in time and stop. At the man, that'd be crazy.
Yeah, it's kind of a bad plan.
If only Steve Zahn is listening now, he might be able to pick
Zahn,
you up.
Help
take us back.
Yeah, fix this.
He'll fly around the Earth really fast in the reverse direction.
That's
Wait,
how it works.
Can Steve Zahn do that? Is that one of his powers? Was that one of his established powers?
I mean, Superman can't, but they still did it. So I mean,
yeah. Why not?
Anyway, actors and actresses did we give you, Lee, for this movie that neither of us had actually watched before, but somehow decided was...
Or even heard about. I think we both, like, one of us found it, like, randomly, and we were like, yeah, sure.
When I was on one of my sprees where I just added the top 250 from whatever list, that's what happened.
Sure. Makes sense.
Okay. Yeah.
We've landed on some weird stuff because of that.
Yep.
Hey.
But yeah, for
they shoot horses, don't they?
Sure do. Hey, that was one of mine
as well.
I wish
they wouldn't.
Well, yeah, Lee.
Also,
again,
last
we have
picture
to,
show.
Yeah, we have to dig deep for you, you son of a bitch.
Yeah, you movie watching asshole.
Do you have to create a lot of holes when you're doing research for movies for me?
Oh, that one actually worked out pretty okay.
Yeah, that was a good one.
Actually, yeah, we shouldn't complain. We've had a long string of good ones in recent history, and we complained a lot and said, like, we should get back to garbage movies. So I guess here we are.
I don't know. I think this is actually a good movie. It just is complicated and tough subject matter. Anyway, Lee, what actors did we give you?
You gave me a just metric fuckload of actors and actresses.
We sure did, I'm sure.
And you also challenged me to use all of them.
Oh, I don't remember doing that, but that seems likely.
What you said was bonus points if you use them all, and boyos, did I ever.
Okay,
we got to stick to our metric, I guess.
Okay, so who did we give you?
Gave me Laura Dern.
Uh-huh.
Swoozy Kurtz.
Hell yeah, Swoozy Kurtz!
Swoozy! Praise be. Praise be.
Kurtwood Smith, aka Red from that 70s show.
Also, he was in a bunch of Star Trek episodes, but nobody
and
cares
he's
about
the
that.
Bad guy in the first RoboCop movie.
He sure is.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Also, Mary Kay Place,
mm-hmm.
Burt Reynolds, of course.
Yeah, Dirty Birdie.
Dirty Birdie.
The Birdie.
MC Gainey, David Graff, and Kelly Preston.
Yep.
That is a lot. That's a whole bunch, huh?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
So, the first idea I came up with, and I already told you guys this one, but I'm not going to do that, is it's just a movie about a lady fighting against big banking, and then she just comes to terms with getting screwed over by overdraft fees because she banks with Citizen Bank. Yep.
Is that
a
Philadelphia staple? Is the Citizens Bank, or do they just own stuff in Philadelphia?
I mean, they're big out that way.
They own a stadium. I had Citizens Bank before college, I think.
Yeah,
I was in that general region. Yep.
Yeah, I mean, I only know it because It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Where the Phillies play.
Yeah, was referencing that in the one episode where they fought the Philly quote frenetic.
Frenetic. Yeah. The copyright, the for copyright purposes, legally distinguishable frenetic. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I will, let me get going on my moves.
Okay. 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 Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So I didn't do a lot of plotting this week. I mostly just figured out what I wanted my characters to do, and hopefully I read, you know, some things in the right order so it makes sense. So here we go.
Wonderful.
Sure. Laura Dern is Ruth, obviously. How am I going to make a movie with Laura Dern where she's not the main character?
Sure. Well, Jurassic
I'm
Park.
I'm not saying perfect, that. But, well, I'm not. I mean, Ellie Stadler's my main character. I don't know about you guys,
yeah,
but
that's in the eye of the beholder. Yeah,
it's
yeah.
not. It's not Sam Neill, famed New Zealand actor Sam Neill. Okay.
I mean, yes, it is clearly Sam Neill. Yeah, okay. But well, I guess what I was saying is other people might be able to do that.
Yeah,
but not me.
Was she in Event Horizon? Because sure. Then again, it would also be Sam Neill.
Also be Sam Neill
and Lawrence Fishburne.
Maybe,
but
maybe Lawrence Fishburne. Yeah.
I don't think she was. Anyway.
Laura Dern is Ruth. Mm-hmm. And the setting that we have is like an early Roman Empire setting. So
awesome.
Like, yeah, right around the BCE CE okay. gap. So right when the Roman Empire is forming into an empire.
Triumvirate and whatnot, yeah.
Exactly. Which we can talk about later if you want, but not right now.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Oh no.
We're in a Celtic setting, so there's gonna be some pretty heavy, unpleasant accent work.
Oh,
yeah.
Wonderful. I like this so much already.
And Laura Dern as Ruth is playing a real like Boudica style warrior queen.
Mm-hmm.
And the movie starts out on the battlefield where she's warring against like a rival Celtic tribe. And we just see some like really badass like fight choreography, and mm-hmm. basically right at the end, Burt Reynolds is playing the rival chieftain, and she just straight up fucking stabs him in the heart, and like he just gets his little cameo in, yeah.
Oh, okay. Awesome. Does he only have a mustache in this? I assume he does. Only a mustache.
Yeah, he has a mustache. And if we haven't, I haven't decided, but he could be Arturius if we want him to. He could be the you know King Arthur stand-in.
Okay.
Because we really want to establish that Laura Dern, when it comes to the British Isles, Laura Dern's the game you want to be.
Yeah, sure.
The only game in town.
Sure,
you know?
Sure.
Yep. Cool.
Okay. So after this big opening battle scene, we cut to like the camp where we get to meet some of the other members of her society. So Swoozy Kurtz, who is wearing an eye patch just like she does in Pushing Daisies.
Oh, of course.
Is the wise advisor character. You know, she's seen many winters and she's seen even more battles.
Sure.
She remembers, she's always talking about some great cataclysm, and she uses slang terms and things like that that seem anachronistic for the Celtic setting. So
but
there's
some
mystery.
But they're not actually. Huh? Oh, okay. No, go ahead.
Yeah,
go ahead.
There's some mystery to her character. And mm-hmm. while we're at this like setup stage, we also meet Mary Kay Place, who is like the bard of this tribe of warrior women.
Nobody wants no one wants a bard in their party.
Ugh. Well, then think of her as a C-3PO telling campfire stories to the Ewoks.
Yeah, I mean, like,
also recall we gave him eight people, so like he's gotta bard eventually with
I mean they are very good on charisma checks, everyone knows this, but you know they're not that good in a fight, so you know sometimes they have pretty high dex as well, but you know whatever.
Well,
sure.
So anyway,
sure.
she is alienating everyone. Like, Mary Kay plays like the bard like storyteller, and while all the warriors are feasting and polishing their weapons and sitting around the fire and we're meeting everyone, she's off like kind of semi in the background telling stories about the old times before they were united into one group. And mm-hmm. as she's telling these stories, like Swoozy and Laura Dern are plotting for whatever is coming up next. And Swoozy keeps breaking in with like, that's not really how it happened. I can't like... I don't know what's happened to all the tales, but like the younger people have forgotten where we came from.
Time travel.
The younger people have forgotten where we came from.
Yeah, the younger people have forgotten where we came from.
Wink.
Yeah. So anyway,
I'm super excited about this. You guys should see my face right now.
Kelly Preston is gonna play a younger soldier who it turns out is Laura Dern's younger sister.
Sure.
She is tired of war and just wants a different life. So anyway, as the movie,
she's real angsty about it. Like, guys,
as the movie goes on, as the movie goes on, we meet Kurtwood Smith, who is the leader of like the Roman-esque kind of legions in the movie.
That seems about right.
Yeah.
Okay.
But there's also something off about their costuming. It's rougher than what we're used to seeing in a movie about Romans. But it's the kind of thing that would piss off a Latin professor or a classics professor. But like the audience would probably just think it's a gritty take on Rome.
Oh boy.
So you've mentioned anachronisms and like shitty costumes. So is this like super low budge? Are we getting in for cheap? Oh, okay.
Okay.
It's Seth's thing. It's Seth's thing.
we gotta pay all these actors. We gotta save money somewhere.
Yeah, that's fair. Okay. Mm-hmm. I see where we're going. Continue.
As we're getting to see like Kurtwood Smith and his like his soldiers, we also meet MC Gainey. He's like the ruthless enforcer, like Kirkwood's right hand man, his muscle.
That also seems like very good casting. Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. You're not wrong.
Hey, Hollywood, if you need a casting director, I will join any union. I will do it in a heartbeat.
literally any union.
Any union, even if it's not useful to being a casting director, I'll do it just for the job.
Yeah.
Eventually we find the Kirkwood Smith's group trying to invade the British Isles, and it's basically up to Laura Dern and her badass warrior women to stop them. Mm-hmm. So before like real bad fighting goes down, there's been some skirmishes. We're gonna have a scene where the dudes, the Roman dudes, try to negotiate. So they send over David Graff, who I don't know who that is, so I just made him the...
he was that like super gun happy fella in Police Academy.
Oh, okay. Well, he's playing against type then, because he's going to be more of a Mouth of Sauron kind of guy.
Yeah. Right. I mean, I can't think of a lot of other David Graff roles, but the one that like comes to mind immediately is the guy who just loves shooting everything in Police Academy. So
yeah, what a fun time the 80s were that character would be funny.
Yeah.
But, yeah. Wow. Also, in this set of people, he is billed dead last for sure. So I think you put him in the right spot.
Absolutely. Yeah. But it's going to be like this is the kind of role that it's like basically one scene, but he could really shine in it, you know?
Sure. Yeah. Yep. No, that seems about right for the movie.
God. Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm knocking it out of the fucking park.
Yeah, kind of are. So
they send over David Graff because he's going to be the like hand-wringing, like shadowy negotiator. He tells Ruth, and by the way, we've also built in some tension since the skirmishes have begun, where Kelly Preston like is pushing her sister to just turn over her control to the Romans. Like, she's like, let them occupy us. I'm tired of this life. But anyway,
she'd sooner die, I assume.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, she would sooner die. Absolutely. Any proud warrior would.
Yeah.
So we get to this this negotiation scene, and Graf tells Ruth that if she gives up her people to what would basically amount to enslavement, she'll be given a position of comfort and they will grant her citizenship. Which, of course, if you know anything about ancient Rome, it's a little hard for a non-Roman born to become a full citizen. So this is a big deal.
Sure. Yeah.
So in response to that, she says in full view of everyone, I am not Citizen Ruth. I am a queen. And she cuts his fucking head off.
Whoa!
And then, yeah. Yeah.
Cool.
Uh, and she sends it back to Kirkwood Smith and his men as her response.
Sure, yeah.
So then we get to the main battle scene of the movie. It's fucking crazy. People doing all kinds of nuts shit.
Is there wire eventually... work? Oh, I hope
oh,
so.
Oh, yeah. Mm. Oh, you know there's wire work. So eventually, Kirkwood, or rather MC Gainey is like bearing down on Laura Dern. And who do you think sacrifices herself to save her sister? It would be her sister, Kelly Preston.
Okay, well, way to answer your own goddamn question.
Kinda, yeah, kind of gave that
I did
one
that
away,
accidentally, so I figured I would run with it.
I was going to say MC Gainey until you said sister, yeah.
Yeah, so yeah. MC Gainey is, like, bearing down on Laura Dern. Like, clearly he's about to kill her. And then Kelly Preston is able to, like, stop him long enough, and she gets, like, mortally wounded. But Laura is able to get the upper hand again, and she kills Kirkwood, or she kills MC Gainey. Mm-hmm. And like they have their tearful, like dying in her arms, like, you know, mm-hmm. let this live on, like you need to win kind of thing. Yeah, she's come around.
If I had a
she's
sister, I feel like I would have had this experience.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. This experience, even with all the wire work and fighting and murder.
In a perfect world.
Yeah, in a perfect world, if I had a sister, yeah. This is exactly what would go down. Yep. Mm-hmm. I mean...
So eventually, you know, we get to the... Yeah, it's checkered. You're an assassin or something like that.
You've been in a couple wars, I think, yeah.
I have been stabbed 6 times.
That, well, all joking aside, dear listeners, that's true. That's fucking true.
It's weird, right?
We're just gonna let that one hang there.
Yeah,
for,
no.
Ever,
maybe in the future.
Maybe in the future, I'll tell several of the stories. Anyway, Lee.
The big battle reaches its end. You know, it's like a final standoff between Laura Dern and Kirkwood Smith. She's victorious. The badass women soldiers all survive, or like, you know, they don't all survive. Some of them die, but they win, and you could tell like. The British Isles are safe once again for their own people. And then this is how the movie ends. How the movie fucking ends.
What?
A giant fucking boat crashes into the shore. And who comes out? It's Kevin Costner from Waterworld and his commanding officer, Charlize Theron, as Imperio or Furiosa. God. It's a crossover of post-apocalyptic movies. From all different genres.
Oh boy!
Oh, you son of a bitch!
Boy. I don't know if I like that ending.
Yeah, it was one distinctly good thing, and now I too am not sure whether it's way more awesome or really stupid.
You might have gone.
Just imagine if you were sitting in the movie theater and you watch this movie and you're like, all right, that's pretty badass. The costuming was a little weird. And
I would be having the same experience.
Yeah.
The entire audience would be looking around going, what does everybody else think of this? Is this dumb or is this great?
I don't know. No, everybody would gasp and like,
yeah, definitely
freak
that.
The fuck
yeah.
out. Yeah. We're going for gasps here, Zach.
Okay. I mean, okay. Right, well, I do.
You got it then.
I was in a theater in that, you know, near end part of Infinity War, and like everybody was gasping, and it was super awesome. However,
that's
true. What the hell, Lee? Like, you really, really, you were doing
also. That's
you were doing so well, and then you were just like, pop culture.
Is that? Is that so? That's the end. That's like
that's
the big
the
reveal.
End. And then we have to wait till the like. It's just a bunch of people. It's like you know the end of season one of Lost, where Jack is just looking at Desmond and going, "What?"
Yeah. I mean, we all remember
or
Lost.
The beginning of season two, rather,
from our college years.
Crossover is good, but like you don't get any of that sweet, sweet Costner, sweet, sweet Charlize in there for all but, 30 seconds?
So when have we ever made a movie that didn't have just a fuckload of sequels, guys?
That's true.
No, true.
I mean, Dirty Birdie was only in for like 5 minutes before he got stabbed.
I mean, I guess
that
could be a prequel.
Yeah, sure. Okay. We'll franchise it. That works.
No, I mean, you do weave together three entirely disparate,
yeah,
everything.
True. Yep.
Oh boy.
Oh boy.
Oh boy, Lee. All right. Oh boy.
Well, Seth, you wanna do the IMDb? I wish I could see Lee's face for this, but sadly we can't.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, we're having some connectivity issues, unfortunately. Yeah.
Well,
Lee, can you just, as Seth is talking, can you describe your facial expressions for us?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, this will be a full 4K audio experience now.
Okay. Perfect.
So,
hair looks amazing. So start with that.
Always.
Work your way down.
Always.
Yeah.
So this is a 1996 film.
Okay. And my film was timeless, so that works.
Kind of. So here is the one sentence IMDb summary.
Okay.
Sometimes after Bond.
No, not gonna do that.
She's in that movie.
I know.
She's in it.
It's great. Anyway, the real summary is: an irresponsible, drug-addicted, recently impregnated woman finds herself in the middle of an abortion debate when both parties attempt to sway her to their respective sides.
Oh, that sounds heavy.
Well, it is. At many points, it is.
Can be, also sometimes not.
Yeah.
So this is the point. This
like,
is
so
as far
just
as
for description of face, like I think my face just started to melt a little more with each
right.
word. Yeah, until it was just a frown hanging off of a skull.
Yeah. Uh-huh. So again, this is to
wait, that's
just
not what you always
highlight.
With great hair
to highlight well. To highlight the faults in judgment here, that is all Seth and I knew about this movie when we decided, absolutely.
Yeah, that seems like a good idea for three white dudes to talk about.
Why would we do this?
Fuck a Rooney.
Oh,
Seth, you want to do the quick plots?
Okay, well, I got to get out my notes because I had to make notes for most of this.
Sure.
Well, who's I'm assuming Ruth is the main character.
Yeah, Laura Dern is Ruth. So we start off with like a really unpleasant sex scene with Laura Dern and some Vincent Gallo looking motherfucker having sex in like an abandoned warehouse or something. I don't even know. Anyway.
Yeah. So I have here. So we start off. Sorry, not to interrupt, but we start off credits rolling over the most uncomfortable sex scene that I've ever seen. The only word uttered in this entire scene is a soft ow. She just says ow at one point. And I thought to myself, well, we're firmly in faking movies territory here. This is going to be something for sure. This is rough.
I'll preface this. The first 15-20 minutes of this movie are just some of the most bummer stuff I've seen on film in a while. Like it's real uncomfortable and unpleasant for many, many reasons. Yeah. So anyway, Laura Dern gets kicked out of Vincent Gallo's shitty apartment. And
then, this is an Alexander Payne movie. Interesting.
God. We need to curtail your movie watching for a bit.
I mean, I just looked it up. I want to follow along.
Okay. Ruth, Laura Dern, she is hard up for money and goes to what I think maybe her brother and or like brother-in-law or something. Anyway,
Kenneth Mars is in this movie, and you didn't tell me Kenneth Mars was in this movie. How dare you?
There was already too many.
There are so many actors in this movie, dude.
He would have played a vaguely Eastern European sheriff or something.
Yeah,
sure.
Well, that doesn't make any sense in your plot, but okay.
That's true, yeah.
Even like the Sheriff of Nottingham, I don't know.
Yes, Robin Hood, get out of my forest.
No, it's too Russian. It's got to be more German.
Oh, sorry. I mean,
Yavon Robin Hood, why do not you leave my forest?
That's perfect.
Yeah.
Keep going.
Yeah, that'll work. Seth, you are sadly incorrect. This is her husband.
It is her husband. I didn't.
Yeah.
She calls him his own, or Laura Dern calls him her only family, which is what indicated to me that it was like a sibling sort of relationship. Anyway.
No, yeah.
Anyway, we learn this later, but it's pretty evident at the time also that there are two children inside that are Laura Dern's biological children, who the gentleman who I thought was her brother for some reason, would not let her see, because she's kind of shitty. Anyway, he gives her 15 bucks. She spends it on like malt liquor and,
patio sealer. Patio
sealer. Is it patio sealer?
Oh, she's a huffer.
Yeah,
that's the one.
Yeah, and then then we proceed to watch her huff a bunch of paint, or sealer in this case. She gets arrested after waking up, and all of this is super uncomfortable, as you expect. Anyway, David, eventually she like comes to trial. And David Graff is like, "Hey, did you know you're pregnant?" David Graff is like the judge in this situation, and it turns out.
Oh, why is she
pregnant
on trial?
Well, because she's been arrested like 15 times before, and
15 times in 1 year.
Yeah,
he asks her how many times do you think you've been here in the last year, and she goes, "I don't know, 5," and he goes, 15.
She apparently
not funny. This is a terrible.
Oh yeah,
like, this, yeah. Yeah, but, yeah.
She has had 4 children now. Deemed incompetent for a number of them. Anyway, it turns out that she's pregnant again, and the judge says, you know that you are not able to take care of this child. If you just, quote, take care of the problem.
Hey, it's like Dirty Dancing.
It's like every movie with abortion, yeah.
Yeah, I will not give you a prison sentence for child endangerment, but instead will, like, give you parole or whatever, like,
which, to be fair, so this is in quarters, this is like an aside, not in court, but you certainly can't do that as a judge, can you?
No.
Like, there's no fucking way you can do that.
There's some fuckery in that, for sure.
Yeah,
I mean, I feel like there's some states where you could do the opposite as a judge, but
legally probably.
Oof. So anyway, he basically says, "Hey, Laura Dern, have an abortion or else you are going to jail for, you know, 5 years or whatever." While she's in jail, she meets a bunch of, like, Christian, I don't even know, like, fundamentalists.
They're just
anti-abortion.
Just
they're anti-abortion activists. Which is Mary Kay Place and Susie Kurtz, actually.
Susie Kurtz.
Yeah, and Kurtwood Smith is Mary Kay Place's husband, and they bail her out, and then they start taking care of her in their house and, like, are trying to sway her to, you know, not get an abortion and all sorts of things like that. Eventually, like, and still, like, Laura Dern is addicted to huffing. Like, she, like, keeps wanting to huff, and like they go to anti-abortion rallies and all sorts of stuff, and it's very, like, it's very political at this point. Lots of people are fighting about, you know, women's right to choose and things like that. Again, the three of us dudes talking about this, I'm not sure how comfortable I feel.
I think we're all firmly on the good side here, I think.
Yeah.
I hope.
I would say so,
right,
but, like, it's
are
not a thing that
life begins at conception of the mother who was conceived.
Oh, hey. Well that
podcast over.
Is
podcast
a good
point.
Over.
No. That was a bad joke. Let's just keep going.
Anyway, eventually Laura Dern, like, punches Kurtwood Smith and Mary Kay Place's child when she's huffing.
Yeah.
And it's hilarious. Yeah. And And Susie Kurtz says, "Oh no, I'll take Laura Dern because like it's not like I know that she just caused you some problems, but I'm still, you know, I hate women's right to choose."
Let's hey Zach, real quick. Let's isolate that audio bit right there.
Oh yeah,
yeah. Just I'm gonna need a future use.
I'm going to need a list of all the places that you, Seth, hashtag on the job market are applying to and their email addresses, if you don't mind.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Anyway.
Oh, dear.
Swoozy.
Yeah, we're trash.
Swoozy takes Laura Dern to this kind of ranch house, and then it is revealed after she removes a wig and some glasses that she's a spy for the pro-choice movement.
This is a particularly funny moment.
I did not expect there to be that kind of a twist in this.
Yeah.
No, you wouldn't. She takes off the glasses and then takes off a wig that could very well be her normal hair, and then her regular hair is under it, and it's just the same fucking thing.
Yeah. It's so weird. It's pretty nuts.
Yeah.
That is the kind of goof you know I live for.
Yeah, it's pretty silly.
Yeah, and Swoozy like takes Ruth to this weird ranch, and it turns out that she's a pro-choice spy. And MC Gainley is also there, who has like a bunch of biker buddies, and they kind of cloister her. They like,
of course he does.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
And the pro-choice people are also doing some crazy shit. Like they're singing to the moon. Which is
there?
There's a lot of singing in this movie. People just sing to,
yeah,
i.e., Jesus or the moon or whatever, constantly, and it's very confusing to me.
They sing to empower themselves. So these people, I think I've very accurately described. I was looking for a term, and pro-choice would have been the right one, but I described them to Seth as Unitarians, and I feel like that very much sums up their sort of position in life. Yeah.
Okay. They're doing it. Anyway,
I have a vague sense of what that entails. So
I grew up as one, and I'll tell you, it's exactly that. It's
oh, wow. All okay. Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, the pro-choice people try to convince Laura Dern to go ahead and have the abortion because it would keep her out of jail, and it would she can't afford it, and all like it would be.
And also she's a fucking drug
addict.
And
she's a drug addict. Like she is still every once in a while just getting completely blasted on like malt liquor or paint or glue or whatever. And eventually all of the pro-life people they like bring up $15,000. They somehow get an anonymous quote donation for $15,000 that they'll give to Laura Dern if she doesn't have the abortion. And MC,
which is so rough.
Yeah,
so rough.
And she and Laura Dern is super excited about this because I mean,
$15,000
to her is, you know, the biggest windfall that she's ever encountered.
Sure.
I know it's a movie and whatever, but like, and she was almost starting to be a rational human, but yeah, when they offered her money to not have an abortion and she's just like, fuck you guys, and like darts out the door to go hang out with the pro-life people, I was like, oh my god.
Yeah. And then MC Gainley also offers her $15,000, and then we get Dirty Birdie showing up as like this
way late.
Way late. He like
so opposite of my movie, but
he's like the founder of some kind of anti-abortion pro-life movement. I'm not even really sure what the deal was with that, but he's like the person that Kurtwood Smith and Mary Kay Place and everybody are like, oh,
they're the ones who they follow him.
Yeah, he's the founder of some ministry that, and he has a ward.
Yeah, wait, but okay, before you say this, okay. I have to say a sentence that I think.
Yeah. Okay.
I wish I could see Lee's face.
Yeah. Uh huh.
Burt Reynolds, young boy massage.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think you know what my face looks like.
Yeah. Uh-huh. It's probably...
So he had his own to throw back.
Sorry. Think... Actually, to be more clear, shirtless Burt Reynolds, young.
Oh no, I need to send you the photo.
Oh right. There's good. Perfect.
When I was watching
for real.
Yeah, when I was watching this last night, I took a screen cap.
Oh, it's something. Oh, it's really something.
Oh, boy.
So to throw it back to, I think, episode 13, Burt Smokey and the Bandit, Burt Reynolds has his own little anus in this movie.
Quite.
Kinda, yeah. Yep, uh-huh. Quite. Well, they're sending. So hopefully that's... my internet will see you through.
yeah. I'll let you know.
I want to pause for it, but I don't know if it'll actually...
Oh no! Why is this happening to my face? Eyes.
It's important who this boy is. Yeah, describe the situation.
This boy was the child of a woman who was going to have an abortion, and
Burt Reynolds just took him.
No, Burt Reynolds convinced her not to through the power of God or whatever. And
mustache persuasion.
And now this boy wearing a red turtleneck with a gold chain on the outside of this turtleneck, this 12-year-old boy is massaging a shirtless Burt Reynolds. And it is very
upsetting. Can we just all agree that that is the best look that you could have?
Oh, no. Absolutely. I was saying this to friend of the show, Daniel, last night when we were watching this, that, like, I want to adopt that look, you know.
It's very reminiscent of that picture of The Rock.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yep. Man. Rock the Dwayne Johnson. Oh, what a
with hair in that one.
What a boy.
Real high and tight on that. Yeah.
Anyway, Burt Reynolds shows up and he's, you know, all kinds of crazy.
Yep.
And he ups the ante to $27,000 if Laura Dern.
So they're literally bidding.
Yeah.
On
and it's a very arbitrary amount.
Yeah.
Her unborn fetus, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So if Laura Dern is only at this point, I think, like 6 to 8 weeks pregnant. Like, it's not.
Oh, yeah. This whole thing happens in like a week.
Yeah.
She's barely pregnant.
6 to 8 weeks pregnant, and there's all sorts of like. Oh, well, back when Laura Dern was still living with Kurtwood Smith, like, there were all sorts of very unpleasant scenes where they had these, like, fake, like, women's health clinics. Like, they're like, they make you listen to heartbeats and they coerce you into naming your 4-week-old thing that's
called
I wouldn't agree that that's a child, but
oh, like the pregnancy centers, TM, the place that exists in the town I live in right now.
Exactly. It's like there's a lot of this, like, coercing people who don't have the means to like, oh, hey, you're not the smartest, ergo we're going to try to coerce you into keeping this child that you have like no resources to take care of, and we're also not going to take care of you, but oh hey, give the child a name. It's super
Seth
fuckery.
And I were talking...
It makes me really, really angry, and I don't want to.
Well,
talk
I mean,
about
those places
too much
exist,
on here, but...
which is
they very exist. John Oliver just did a segment about it a month ago,
which people should watch if they're interested in this sort of thing, because he does a
very good segment.
Good job talking about it, which we definitely won't hear. But
yeah, they open up
just
like next
three guys
to
having a good time.
Actual, yeah, they open up like next to Planned Parenthoods, or they have like mobile van stations, and they'll go out and like literally pull people away from going into actual medical establishments to bring them into their weird religious thing and be like, yeah, like the same shit, like, oh, what are you gonna call the baby? And these people are just like, what do you, what, I don't know. Yeah, it's, ooh, it's
bad. Ah, here's anyway. A weird okay. plastic model of a 4-month-old fetus that,
yeah,
you know,
that happened.
Doesn't yeah. have brain activity or a heartbeat, but yeah. we're going to claim to for, you know,
yeah.
political and or religious reasons because we're pieces of shit.
Yeah.
Anyway, it got me all riled up. Anyway, so
okay, you're allowed to be passionate.
Yeah, I just coercing people is really a problem for me. Anyway, so Laura Dern is living with this weird sort of lesbian coven. With Susie Kurtz and
Kelly Preston.
And Kelly Preston and MC Gainley and all sorts of other randos. And the offer on the table is now $27,000, and Laura Dern, to celebrate this, gets really, really, really drunk. And is like, because, you know, that's kind of what she does. She just gets really, really drunk or high or whatever. And Swoozy yells at her and puts her to bed. And we wake up to Laura Dern having clearly a miscarriage in the morning.
Oh.
But she doesn't tell anyone because everybody else seems so concerned with their own ideologies and plans, and she's gonna tell Kelly Preston, but then doesn't because Kelly Preston seems like says something or like a helicopter is about to show up or whatever that by the yep. pro-choice people, and it kind of yep. throws Laura Dern off of her thing. But she makes sure that the $15,000 that MC Gainley was going to give her is secure. Like, it's going to be at the abortion clinic where she can get at it.
Yep.
So they end up taking a helicopter, and we've got Dirty Birdie, like, yelling on a loudspeaker being like, "Oh, no, we still love you, Ruth." And, like, I mean, they clearly don't. They don't care about her at all. It's all political.
Right, they're using her for their agenda.
It's everyone is using her for their agenda. And that's... Anyway, so they end up at the clinic. Laura Dern is no longer pregnant at this point, but is pretending that she is and, like, sneaks off to... gets the nondescript black bag of money from behind the counter because Susie Kurtz and her ilk don't want it known that the pro-choice people are paying for this, because that would add all kinds of
right it would make them look like they're
they're bribing them, just as the anti-abortion people are doing the exact same little communiques between themselves saying, "Oh no, don't."
And it's also, like, I think it could be argued that it's a lot easier to spin paying someone to convince them to not have an abortion than paying someone to convince them to have one.
Yeah.
Much rougher.
Because you could claim that it's for, you know, the
we're thinking of someone else,
child, all this stuff. Anyway,
yep.
Laura Dern gets the money, breaks out of the abortion clinic, after jumping some fences and getting around, and is like totally stuck. She like either has to walk past the protesters or walk out the front door, and she doesn't know what to do. And she just like,
and there's hundreds of people,
hundreds of people on both sides, because this has become like a media circus for everyone involved.
Yeah,
sure, yeah. sure.
And Laura Dern just like quietly walks by, both sides, just walks past the chain link fence and then walks past all the protesters who don't even notice her, with her $15,000. And
right,
then, like,
the message is it's not actually about her, right?
Exactly.
That's the thing, is it's like, everybody clearly forgot about the human involved, and we're so concerned about their particular ideologies and definitions of things. And
honestly, yep. I think it was a very, very good ending because
yeah.
Like she like just everybody forgot about how there is actually a living human involved in all of this.
That's the end of the movie. Yeah, it's a very good ending because then the writers didn't have to pick a side.
Yeah.
Like, if you end it one way or the other, then you're taking a political stance on it. But really, the stance they're taking is, like, this whole thing has gotten to the point where it's not about what it should be anymore.
Yeah,
like,
you lost sight
of the whole thing.
Regardless of how you feel about the situation, the way you're going about it is incorrect. Sure. Yeah,
right. All of the publicity about it is very stupid, is the whole point.
Yeah.
Like, just, like, let people be people or whatever, yeah.
So that's Citizen Ruth.
Sure is.
Hey, guys, I mean, I know this is some serious subject matter here. We've been talking about no judgment here. But you guys did say that was going to be a quick summary.
Yeah, sorry. It was a more convoluted plot than...
I'm just teasing. Well, I know. I'm just teasing you.
I think we'll get to some funny parts. I got some funny notes.
Okay, go for it.
There is some comedy in this movie.
There are also some comedy moments. I mostly wrote down plot notes because I couldn't remember what the hell was happening. So
it was a lot. It was a lot.
So I'll just run through some of my shitty plot notes real quick, and then we'll get to Zach's more funny ones. I have like. There was, like, 3 minutes where there's total silence except for people's mouth sounds while they're eating dinner, and I about lost my fucking mind. I was about to murder anything that came into the room because, goddamn, that is... It was an uncomfortable dinner with Kurtwood Smith and Mary Kay Place and Laura Dern. And they were just sitting there eating steaks, being like, oh, no, I can't even do it. They were making horrible sounds.
It's such a good thing that last week you dialed into the call after everyone else, because I made everyone listen to me eat for, like, 10 minutes before you joined the call.
I'm sorry, police, but I may have murdered Lee last week.
I got in a car. I swear it wasn't premeditated, even though I had to drive a great distance to do it, but
oh, it's like the astronaut.
My other notes
have known Seth to wear a diaper from time to time.
Whoa, what?
There it is. Deep cuts.
No, just run with it. Go with it.
Sure. Sure, now they're singing to the moon, which is a crazy thing. Oh, there's jaunty Irish music all the time, which is...
Ooh.
Yeah.
Total bazonker pants to
me. I mean, vaguely ties into my British Isles, so that's good.
During the whole thing, Laura Dern, at a certain point, like, she has a Walkman that she listens to when she gets high, and she steals a tape, and the tape is like real estate advice, which is pretty great. It's like, oh, well, you should put XX and X in escrow, therefore you can buy. And
it's her calm down thing, which is pretty great, it's a weird
non sequitur kind of joke.
Most of my other notes are just like the cognitive dissonance here is so intense, and Kurtwood Smith is being a weird perv, and
yeah,
I buy that.
Yeah.
Wait. Oh shit! Roll that one back, guys. I'd buy that for $1.
Because
of RoboCop.
Yeah, that's not RoboCop. He was in RoboCop also.
Half credit.
Cause...
you guys seen RoboCop? It's real good.
Yeah, of course.
Dick blowed off.
Yeah, it's like my 10th favorite movie.
Oh, wow.
I am still floored that you have a ranking to that level.
It goes beyond 10, bro.
I know it does. Oh, yeah, I know it does. Sure. That's about all I got. I mean, Kurtwood Smith just being a weird perv he's like, oh, I used to be quite a sinner before I married Mary Kay Place.
Like, ew.
Yeah.
Ew.
Yeah.
What me out, sounds bro. Like a real dumbass, am I right?
Hey.
Hey, because that 70s show. That's the two things he's in, guys. That's the two things
turns
he's
out.
In.
The only two. Turns out.
Anyway, I mean, my notes are not terribly interesting. They're mostly plot notes. So, Zach, what do you got?
All right. Yeah, so I'll start with my four-word summary, which turned out to not be true in the
end. Oh, I have a three-word summary, too.
Yeah. So I think this is for the first, like, third of the movie. The four-word summary is, take care of it? Because human adults can't say the word abortion in movies until... I don't even, like, it's baffling.
Yeah.
I'm certain that they say abortion in Obvious Child, and that's just a few years ago. I couldn't tell you if it happens before that, though.
And Well, I mean, so they do end up saying abortion quite a bit in this movie.
They make
an
abortion joke in Knocked Up, but it's never a consideration, so I wonder if that draws a line.
Sure.
Mm. When did Knocked Up come out?
2006,
I
think.
20...
Wait, is that Katherine Heigl?
And Rogan.
My three-word summary is everyone is terrible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, you're that definitely true in this. Yeah. Yeah.
It's that really shone through in your description.
Oh boy.
Yeah. Just there's everyone no is manipulating whatsoever. Poor Ruth, who is like not a very
and she
woman.
Herself is terrible.
Yeah.
She's awful. Yeah. Yeah.
She
does bad things, and they do bad things to her.
Specifically to manipulate her towards their political ideologies.
Sure.
Yeah.
All right, so to start with the quotes, Laura Dern and Swoozy Kurtz in a car before the reveal that Swoozy is actually a Unitarian. They pull up next to, by chance, Vincent Gallo character.
Mm.
And Vincent Gallo recognizes her, and she fucked up his car before she left. So. Yeah. He's like yelling at her, and she hangs out the window. Swoozy, again, presumed to be a very religious woman at this point. And Laura Dern says, "Suck the shit out of my ass, you fucker." Which is really, really good.
Yeah, it was pretty great.
That Swoozy, was just levels of fury right there. That's
yeah.
Very
Swoozy's driving. She turns and she goes, "Oh my, who's that?" And Laura goes, "I don't know, some guy, whatever." Really good.
It is pretty fun. Yeah.
God, Laura Dern, I can see her delivering those lines, and it's just like, yeah.
Laura Dern just hates the best. Some people, and like, she is very good at being very, very angry in this movie.
She is. So I wrote that as well. This, I think her as like an insane person... Next to, I think, top Laura Dern Insanity, which is clearly starring Nicolas Cage, Wild at Heart, which is amazing. Amazing. This is an A-plus performance by her. She is so good in this. Like, she plays drunk, high, and asshole, like, super-duper well.
She brings, like, levels of professionalism and, like, ability to even the dumbest shit, like... I don't know. Mm-hmm. I know Zach likes this show. Fucking Kroll Show. Mm. She was on like a 3-episode arc. It actually, I wonder if they cast her because of Citizen Ruth.
Quite
because
possibly.
She plays a drug addict whose child, like, she abandoned. Like,
that sounds about right. Yeah.
Pretty close. Yeah.
Holy shit. Oh, the veil is lifted from my eyes. Nick Kroll. Even more layers. Even more layers to that onion. But yeah, Laura Dern is outstanding in that fucking show, and it's like pointless. There's no reason for her to be in there, and she's so good
she's
in it.
She's so famous. Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right, I have one more quote. This one's very good. So this is when Seth was describing when they're at the house and there's like 200 religious people out on the road, like singing songs and telling her to not get
abortion. I know what quote this is going to be.
Yeah, for sure. This is like a breath of fresh air hilarity. Mm. I mean, it's very dark, but it's also very funny. So they got Ruth's actual mom, and she's on the bullhorn that Burr Reynolds is on. And as they're getting into the helicopter, she hears her mom over the bullhorn, and she goes, "Mom?" And you think it's going to be like a touching reunion or something. And the mom says, Ruth.
Reunion. Yep. Sure. It's a Paul Simon song. Goes, "It's only an ocean away.
Isn't it always?"
Only an
ocean away.
Oh, little darling of mine. I can't for the life of me. Sorry. Okay.
I hate you guys.
Yeah, I know. That's why
she goes,
do it.
Ruth,
yeah,
I mean... Ruth, listen to me. You listen to me. Don't you do it. What if I had aborted you? And Ruth grabs the megaphone and she goes, well, at least I wouldn't have had to suck your boyfriend's cock. And then yeah, all the religious people go, like in unison.
And then
boy. Horror.
And then Laura Dern boards that helicopter and they fly away.
Yeah. And I mean, her mom says something to the effect of like, don't talk about that. That's ancient history. And then they get in the helicopter and go to the abortion clinic. Yeah. It's very fun.
Like, in deconstructing that line, which, like, hearing it, I mean, I laughed. That sounded really funny. And yeah, deconstructing also, it sounds like sexual abuse,
yeah,
though.
For sure. Yeah. It's terrible, yeah. But it was, this movie is so heavy in general that, like, all the humor is black humor, obviously.
Yeah, I'm sure.
But, like, it's well appreciated when it comes up because everything is so heavy.
Yeah,
and
to break up
otherwise.
Break up the general pace of things.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. All right, well, should we get to the rates?
Yeah, so the IMDb on this is 7. Just straight 7.
Even 7.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
which is
respectable.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Cuz I mean, it sounds like a very polarizing movie. I imagine that it would have some wild swings in the voting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
for
Zach,
sure.
Why
for
don't
sure.
you go first this time?
Okay. So for original, I think this was, I was swayed. It started out like definitely
Zach
a bummer.
Started out pro-choice and now he's pro-life. He's swayed.
I did. I saw the
Seth,
not godlike.
Can you isolate that clip of Zach agreeing with me when I said that? So
shit.
God, you just want to get all of this.
Yeah, we gave you the out with your boss in the beginning of the episode. Yeah. You're really fucking serious.
What are you doing, bro?
No, it started out as like a huge bummer, but I think as Seth touched on earlier, the ultimate conclusion, the ending of the movie was perfect. Like, they didn't pick a side, and the conclusion was like all these dumb people got caught up in the manipulation and in their own bullshit and they forgot about what was actually happening to this poor woman.
Mm-hmm.
Like to an extent it almost sounds like maybe the screenwriter and Alexander Payne, it looks like, also wrote this movie.
Yeah.
Maybe had the ending in mind when they started out.
That seems very
almost
likely,
certainly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is interesting because I also came up with the ending of mine before I came up with the rest of it. So
sure.
Yeah, naturally.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, so 7 seems about right. It was enjoyable. I did write, like, I can see why this wasn't famous in 1996. Like, I don't think the world was ready for this kind of social activism movie in 1996.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But
this
was right around the time that Laura Dern was on Ellen when Ellen came out. So, like, Laura Dern was really just knocking down every barrier in the mid-90s. Yeah,
sure. But that speaks to the time. Like, we weren't even okay with, like, gay people in 1996. So, like, we definitely weren't talking about, like, abortion being a thing that people should be cool about, for sure.
Yeah, the fact that they even used the word in this movie, I think, is pretty...
Is unprecedented.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, so I'd say, I'd also say 7. It wasn't, like, amazing, but I thought it was definitely above average, mm-hmm. for sure.
Cool.
Lee's movie, I think, it had a lot of promise, and I think, as we discussed, the tip at the end was maybe points against
maybe
for me.
A little too far.
Yeah.
God, that was the part I thought you guys were gonna like the best.
Generally we'd be all about that. Yeah. I
what
don't
if
know.
I cut what if I cut out Costner? What if it's just Furiosa that shows up?
No, but like
I needed a way to get her from Australia to England. That's why I wanted Waterloo.
Oh, sure. I'm not going to count it against you too much. I think the movie in general seemed very compelling. All of the like interplay between the characters is very good. I'm going to go...
Those things that I didn't write at all.
Yeah, sure.
No, like the sister
characters.
Thing was very compelling. Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. I'm going to go a 7-1. Like a
hey,
skosh above.
Thank you.
Yeah. right.
Wait, Seth, Zach, I have a quick question for you about Citizen Ruth, the real movie. Mm-hmm. How long was it?
Oh, 145?
Yeah, okay, so that's only a little longer than you usually like.
Yeah, it was no tight 90, but it was it went quick enough, I would say. They kept it moving. It was okay. Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Not the usual 90. Seth, get bash my skull in with your hammer of hard scoring.
How much piss drinking do you want in this movie?
So, I'll do the original first, and I think Zach is right. Like, it's a solid 7. Like, it is at points a very hard watch, but is also, like, very well written, especially when they have the conclusion where Ruth actually matters, even though everybody involved in the plot doesn't care about Ruth. It's all kinds of fuckery.
You
guys, the way you described it sounds like very tough subject matter that maybe isn't necessarily something that screams out enjoyable, but it's executed very well.
I mean, Ruth is not a likable character. No. Honestly,
but it also sounds like it doesn't ask you to be on her side other than just like let her be a person.
Well, let her be a human. Like, nobody is likable in this movie. Yeah. Absolutely no one is likable in this movie, which is
that's part of the fun of the watch, though, is at points, and it switches like within minutes of like at points you're on her side entirely, mm-hmm. where you're like, oh, this is so fucked, and then she goes and huffs a bunch of glue and is an asshole again, and you're like, oh, god damn it, like it's, they did that very well.
Yeah, and she's like, why can't I stop being like, why can't I stop stealing, why can't I stop like huffing glue, why can't I stop doing all of these things. So like it's a, I think 7 is a very solid rating for this.
Sure.
Lee, yes, your sir. Movie, which I was very much enjoying when it was still a historical drama.
When it was a young babe.
Let's think about it as like a historical Fast and Furious without any vehicles. Just a dumb historical
when you put it that way.
You didn't describe it that way the first time.
I wanted it to come across as like a dumb historical action movie with like some empowering themes.
Yeah.
A lot of wire work.
You're doing a good job of.
Thank you.
It's very much a Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves sort of situation for me, where it's like clearly anachronistic, but you know.
But fun.
And then, Lee, dear Lee.
What, sir?
And then you did that. You did that twist where you had to jam in them other movies.
How dare you criticize me for making a fucking franchise out of a movie, Mr. 10 sequels to a fucking horror movie? Hey. God damn it.
Hey, we might be pro-choice, but you made a bad choice this time.
God.
Zach.
Let's do that quote, too.
That's no good at all.
How long you been sitting on that one?
Yeah, for sure.
I'm not proud of
you. You are
you shouldn't be.
You're doing like a solid like 7.5, which being stupid, I think you could have made a franchise without bringing in other franchises. That's the thing that I have the problem with.
Sure.
Is bringing in the other franchises. You had a 7.
Right. It's a crutch.
Yeah. Yeah. You had a 7.5, dude, and then
Oh wait, so it's a crutch that I brought in other franchises, but Seth breaking apart every title to make different words out of it.
It's original. It's at least original. Yeah.
God damn it.
Lee, you had a 7.5 and I have to bump you down to a 6.9.
Nice. It's like a win and a tie.
So it's a full tie. It's a full tie. Yep.
Yeah, weird, right? So that's my rating for Lee's movie. It's 6.9.
All right. Cool. All right. Yeah. That'll do it. All right. Well, next week I'm doing a movie that these boyos are very excited about called Starman. Yeah. And I'm a little worried about it.
So I have a bit of a teaser for next week. I actually have a one word summary for next week. Seth, do you think I should reveal it right now?
Yeah, go ahead. I think it doesn't reveal too much.
Yeah. So Zach,
should I plug my ears?
No, this is for you to hear. Yeah. My one-word summary for Starman is idiosyncratic.
Yeah.
Oh. Mm-hmm. All right. Yeah, that can go any which way.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Any which way but loose.
No, never again.
Any which way but loose.
Yeah. Thanks for stopping in, guys, on episode 51 and monkeying around with us.
Garbage humans.
Yeah. Oh, see, I was waiting for one of you guys to go ape.
No.
That's it.